A Twitter insider has leaked audio of Jack saying, oh, this Trump ban, just the beginning. A BLM protester arrested for taking part in the Capitol riot and exhorting those around him to engage in destruction. And Joe Biden calls for a raise of minimum wage to $15 an hour. What's that all about? Hello, 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 hello. It is Friday, and a beautiful one it is, at that looking like we might get into the mid-50s today. Yesterday was lovely, 57 for a high. Now we're, excuse me. Oh, yes, that's the time. Wait till the mic goes on, then start coughing, Richard. Good plan. You're a professional, a radio professional, to be sure. Got big plans for the weekend, John Byrd? You got places to go, people to see, things to do, huh? What's going on with you?
Yes.
Yeah?
I am being someone important. I'm speaking at like a business convention thing.
Oh, my God.
I'm like an expert.
Clearly, they don't. They haven't done that much research. They didn't do the background check, obviously.
No, I don't think my puppet show is going to go over very well. But
oh, come on. Just because it involves you unzipping your pants, it's not a bad thing. Come on.
No.
It's for the kids. It's what? No.
Oh, my God.
So wrong. That is.
What have you done?
So wrong.
My reputation is ruined, Richard.
Those puppets are supposed to go on your fingers, damn it. Don't you understand anything? What's wrong with you? Ay, 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 ay. Yeah. Chuck Davis Law bringing you portions of today's show. My lawyer is Chuck Davis. He should be your lawyer, too. Why? Because he's really good at the job. He is a general practice lawyer, not one of these guys who's so special. You know, sometimes you go to a lawyer, you see a lawyer, you hear about a lawyer, you get a referral from a friend. Oh, you should call this guy. You call him up and you go, yeah, I've got this personal injury case. And they go, I'm a real estate lawyer. I can't help you. Well, Chuck Davis does real estate. He does personal injury. He does divorces, absolutely, contract disputes, personal disputes, land disputes, probating, simple wills for $99 right now, more complex wills, slightly more expensive, not much more, though. He listens closely to what you say. He absorbs. He analyzes. He's very good at what he does. No representation is made that the legal services provided are superior to legal services provided by other attorneys. But I am a Chuck Davis guy. He is my lawyer. He should be your lawyer. And we hope to have him on the show soon to answer some of your legal questions. I just await an email. ChuckDavisLaw.com. ChuckDavisLaw.com. 823-9992. All right, a couple of things that are of real interest today, of note, shall we say, things that might actually come into play in your life. The first one is that Jack, the Twitter man, has been captured on audio saying that this is huge, and this Trump ban is just the beginning, that it's just the start of, you know, what needs to be happening. In other words, he's really talking about purging more people. Which is amazing to me because, you know, people forget that Donald Trump is just the face of a movement that is 75 million people strong. 75 million people out of 300 million, you think, well, that's not that many. Well, you know, that's just the people who voted for him. In other words, the people who were of legal age and registered to vote and voted. There are many more. I mean, you think about the stadiums that this guy managed to fill while he was running for president both times, and then the minuscule crowd that Joe Biden managed to put together. You know, you're dealing with a guy who has something like 88 to 92% approval rating in the Republican Party, depending on who you're listening to. That's a massive number because Joe Biden, only 18% of registered voters are excited about the Joe Biden presidency. 18%. One in five, basically. The other four are like, eh, you know, that's pretty sad. So when you start talking about, well, this is just the tip of the iceberg. We need to go deeper. We need to do so much more. We need to get this, you know, we need to get rid of these people. Well, you're talking about getting rid of a lot of people. You're talking about getting rid of half the country. You're talking about blocking half the country from using your service because you disagree with their views, which is a really stupid idea, first from a business standpoint, right? Because these people all buy things. They all buy shoes. They all buy mouthwash, you know. They all buy cars. and to block them off and not let them have access to your platform because you disagree with them politically seems like a foolhardy move. I've never gotten that. I've never understood that, and I don't think I'm ever going to understand that. And secondly, this movement was not created by Donald Trump, and this is the thing that I think so many people have difficulty understanding. Much in the same way people say, oh, Trump sowed all this division. He was the divider. The division was there. That's what elected Trump. We were sick to death of the division, and we were sick to death of the swamp, and we were under the impression that maybe this guy could do something about it. He scratched the surface at best because of the limited ability of one man, even in the executive position, to get anything of real value done. But boy, he wanted to, and we wanted him to. And it ended up not to be, at least not seriously. He got a lot done in terms of straightening out the economy, in terms of restoring freedom to a lot of people, restoring the American way of life in terms of a free market economy and less regulation and, of course, lower taxes, et cetera, et cetera. Didn't do a damn thing about government spending. Not happy about that. Stopping illegal border crossings, things of that nature, all of that. You know, feather in his cap, to be sure. And he did all this while, by the way, he was, you know, fighting off the demons with his other hand. You know, this is a guy who's managing to accomplish all of these things while he's basically engaged in a left-handed sword fight with the FBI and the Mueller group with the Russia collusion probe nonsense and Nancy Pelosi and inauguration, or rather impeachment nonsense, and, you know, on down the line, and the media constantly calling him racist and terrible things. It's downright silly what he managed to achieve. But yeah, the division helped elect Donald Trump, but also, you know, this movement of people who are fed up with business as usual in Washington, D.C., and we are. We're fed up with business as usual. There's not really another good way to put it. Business as usual being that your senator, your congressman comes to your district, your state, and he's running for office, and he tells you everything you want to hear, and you go, oh, yeah, I like this guy. He makes sense. And then he goes off to Washington and does exactly what his K Street lobbyist buddies tell him to do. The people who are funding his campaign, he does what they tell him to do. It has nothing to do with you or me. I mean, the vast majority of Alabamians were against the tax increase on gas. The vast majority. Dick Shelby, you know, when he runs for office, he comes around, he makes a lot of platitudes, he talks about this and that. Kay Ivey, you know, talked about moving the state forward, et cetera, et cetera. Didn't hear anything about a gas tax when she was running, right? Didn't hear anything about a gas tax. And then they colluded, basically, behind the voters' back to come up with this scheme and ramrod it through. And it's one of those deals where you're just left shaking your head and going, really? That's business as usual. It happened at the state level this time, but it happens in Washington, D.C. all the time. All the time. And we're sick of it. We would like our elected officials to listen to us. Unfortunately, to get the reform into the system that we need, i.e., limiting special interest money into campaigns, would actually take the tacit approval of those people who are currently residing in those seats. And even those who say, I'm going to go clean up Washington, I'm there to straighten things out, and I'm going to work hard, and then they get there and they go, this is actually a really comfy seat, I think I'll stay here for a while. And that's it. It's over. Well, I'm one man, what can I do? You know, you're going to hear this out of Tommy Tuberville. Tommy Tuberville was very much a, I'm going to go clean this up and straighten this out. Eventually, you know, Tommy Tuberville is going to be taking under the wing of somebody who teaches him how to be a senator, and that involves not speaking so much to your constituents, going to more Georgetown cocktail parties, and doing what they want. You know, that's how that works. Sorry, don't mean to be ugly about Tommy. Love the guy, really do. Great coach, good interview, wonderful guy. It's just, it tends to be more the rule than the exception. The exception is the Mo Brooks and the Gary Palmer. But even they have difficulty because when they're confronted with a choice of, well, this is the best you're going to get. Vote for this and Americans get $600. Vote against it and your next opponent is going to say, he didn't want you to have that money. And so, and there's not a third option. There's not another choice out there, which is, once again, the swamp having its way. We're going to give billions to foreign countries and make sure Pakistan gets, you know, $10 million for gender studies, by the, you know, for the love of God. That's, we can't not have Pakistan do gender studies. And you're going to get $600, and that's the best offer that you're going to get. And so, you know, they voted for it because they said, I can't vote against this. I want my people to get $600. I really would prefer Pakistan not get $10 million for gender studies, but at this point, what option do I have? And that's how they squeeze you in the pinchers, and eventually you end up either leaving in disgust, as many senators and congressmen have done, or being outcast as a pariah because you refuse to actually bow to the will. Ted Cruz went through that in his first term. Nobody would sit with the guy in the Senate dining room. You know why? Because he wasn't like them. He didn't take the money. He wouldn't be that special interest guy. I don't know whether or not that's changed, but I know from talking to some senators that I have known that the guy was a pariah during his first term. May have changed, may not have, I don't know. Anyway, so there's that. Twitter is banning Donald Trump for the rest of his life, most likely, thinking that that is somehow cutting off the head of the movement is going to do it. But they're mistaken. The head of the movement isn't Donald Trump. The head of the movement is all of us. The head of the movement is every one of us who is sick to death of this stuff. And it will only take one more person to jump out front who is, let's just say, energetic, somebody who is effusive, somebody who's electric, somebody who's motivating, somebody who can really get people up and excited and, you know, going crazy. I want to say the San Diego Chicken, is he busy right now? Do we know? Is he doing anything? Because San Diego Chicken just springs to mind for some reason. 12:11, let's take a quick break. We will hurry back and get this show up and lumbering under its own weight with a big stupid question of the day. Stick around.
Of the bluebird as she sings, the 6 o'clock alarm would never ring. But it rings. Wipe the sleep out of my eyes. With shaven razors cold and it stings.
I grew up with the Monkees. They were just about, I was right in the zone age-wise when they were hot.
Yep.
I was 4 and 5, so that was perfect. I was like 68, 69, right? Do I have that right?
Yep.
I want to say.
Spot on.
That was, I think that was when the show aired. And then it came back around again in syndication after school in the early 70s. So I want to say 72, 73, maybe 73, 74. That would put me at 9, 10, 10, 11. That bubblegum pop was right up my alley. I mean, I loved that stuff. I love a good, what we call a power pop song, John, something that is, it's catchy, it's short, it's to the point. There's still great power pop songs being made today.
Yes.
The Knack was great at power pop songs. Mm-hmm. You know, Good Girls Don't, classic example. The Who was good at power pop songs, too.
Yep.
But anyway, it's a shame because that particular song, and I'm trying to remember who wrote it. It was not one of the Monkees.
Is it Neil Diamond?
I don't think it was Neil Diamond. Neil Diamond wrote "I'm a Believer," but I feel like I should know who that is. There were a couple of guys who wrote it. Boyce and Hart, remember them? They wrote a lot of songs for the Monkees. That may have been one of them. I don't know. Anyway, unbelievably, the Monkees are still touring.
John Stewart.
John Stewart, people out there turn the music into gold.
Yep.
He did that song, and he actually was with the Kingston Trio for a while. Guy was kind of a folky turned rock and roll. Yeah, that's right. Anyway, the Monkees are still touring. They are down now to Mike Nesmith and Mickey Dolenz. And those two guys are going around with a group of other people and doing Monkees songs. Okay. Mm. What the heck, you know? If it pleases you, you should enjoy it. 1218, talk the 995, talk the 995.com, Sentinel Firearms, sentinelfirearms.us at 592-3004, 906 North 40th Street. Great place to go do some shooting. Do some this weekend. I know it's nice out, but you can take an hour of your time, go over there, pick up some low-priced ammo, use one of their shooting lanes, get some practice in, It's really important that you train and you keep yourself up, because you don't, when somebody comes knocking, kicking your door in because they want to take your stuff, you don't need to be like, hold on, I have to get in my proper stance and lean forward, and I am, now don't close both eyes, but I got to get the grip. No, you need to be able to fire, point, and shoot and get the job done, right? And they can give you training on that. They got classes for such a thing. They have a lot of great firearms available to rent if you want to try some out, and to, for sale. The selection is a little sparse right now, but they come and go. So swing on by lots of accessories to gunsmithing. If you have something that you need worked on, they're great at it. Sentinel Firearms, sentinelfirearms.us, proud sponsor of...
The big, stupid question of the day.
Which is, describe yourself in three bands or musical artists. Give me three bands or musical artists that best describe you.
That's a great one.
It really is, isn't it? I'm really enamored of this question. I wish I could say that I came up with it myself. I, of course, stole it from elsewhere, as I have so many of these big, stupid questions. There are no new ideas under the sun, John. You know that.
I know.
But the answers that we're getting thus far on social media are fascinating because they run the gamut. And really, it's not just any three musical groups you like, all right? I shouldn't have to explain this, but I'm going to anyway, just to make sure that people aren't getting kind of lost in the shuffle here. It's not just any three musical groups that you're a fan of. It's three groups that really largely define who you are, like how you think and where your head is. And at the end of it all, well, you know, I mean, for instance, people can tell a lot about you by how you are. Well, I'll use myself as an example, because we talked about this not long ago, that when someone is named Richard, you can call him Rick, you can call him Rich, you can call him Ricky, you can call him Dick. There's a number of different ways. Mm-hmm. I get called that last one a lot, even by people who don't know my name, which I find strange. But, you know, there's a lot of different diminutions of that name. So whichever one you choose kind of sets up a tone for who this person is. If somebody's named Rick, probably a sports guy, right? Probably somebody who's into, you know, he likes to play baseball and plays on the church league softball team, and he likes to watch a lot of sports, and maybe, you know, mid-level management who does a lot of golfing. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there, right? Rich is somebody else entirely. Richard is somebody else entirely. Dick is somebody else entirely. Just throwing it out there.
And Richie?
Richie is he's a loser. Don't talk to him. He's he's trouble. He's driving around in a panel van luring children in. It's not good. Anyway, enough about me. Let's talk about this big stupid question. So you pick the three that sort of largely define who you are and dial us up. 545-9950, 844-455-9950. I won't put John Bird on the spot by making
him come up with
him.
I'm already ready.
This is so rare for you. You're never ready.
I know. It just like went boom, boom, boom.
If you were a battery, like, you would be represented by a dead bunny, actually. That would be you. It's never ready. John Bird.
Never.
He's never ready. All right. What do you got?
Okay. Here we go. My first would be Billy Joel.
Okay.
My second would be Toto.
Uh-huh.
And my third would be Weezer.
That's a great lineup. That really is. That tells us volumes about you. Now, get out of the studio and put AJ on. I'm done with you. That's no.
AJ, go on. Come here, man.
No, that's good. That's strong. I think that speaks volumes. It tells us about who you are. And I'm not going to go into the details, but because everyone is going to come up with their own interpretation, I think. But
handsome, smart, and engaging. That's what it means.
Is that what that means? It also means, to some degree, you're a little bland and a little yacht rockish, because you got Toto in there, man. Sorry. I don't know how to tell you this.
I'm meticulous.
Oh, is that what it is? You're meticulous.
Yes.
Okay.
And that is meticulous music to me.
I think you could also get the meticulousness out of, say, Steely Dan. You could have used Steely
Dan.
Oh,
man,
instead.
Yes, I could. Oh,
yes, yes. And you love Steely Dan, right?
I
I'm
love
guessing.
Steely Dan. Yeah, okay. I think either one of those.
There you go. 545-9950, 844-455-9950. I would love to hear from you if you've got an answer to the big stupid question of the day. I'd love to hear from you if you don't even want to talk about something else that's going on out there, because coming up in just a few short minutes, we're going to chat with Debbie Schlussel. Debbie does politics.com. Debbie does movies.com. There is, I'm still holding on to the biggest story of the day, and it is a big story. It is a ridiculous story. It is a story that is worthy of our time and attention, though, because it's one of those things that you look at and you shake your head and you go, really? You ever meet someone who can't see past the end of his nose when he makes a decision? Doesn't think about far-reaching effects? Yeah, well, 80 million people, he said sarcastically, just elected one of those as president. I kid you not. Stick around. Debbie Schlussel, Richard Dixon, Talk995, Talk995.com. It's first news time right now. Underrated album by Led Zeppelin.
Agreed.
I was around when this thing came out. So were you, John. We were all, not all of us, but you and I were.
Yes, we were.
And my local radio station, KQRS, KQ92 in Minneapolis, Minnesota, they did a, Led Zeppelin, no longer the kings of rock and roll, so now we have to crown new ones, and they had a whole weekend where they pitted off bands against each other. And I remember thinking at the time, it's funny, when the Beatles moved from I Want to Hold Your Hand to, I don't know, Abbey Road, you know, that was considered growth. When Led Zeppelin stopped ripping off old blues artists for their music,
mm-hmm.
And then came out with this stuff, which was really unique and interesting and quite a departure from their previous album, Presence, which was probably my favorite favorite album of theirs. That was just like, oh, well, they've sold out. I was like, they sold out? How is this a sellout?
Great
this
stuff
is,
on that album.
Yeah, fantastic. All of My Love is on there. I love Southbound Suarez, Hot Dog. I mean, there's some good stuff on that thing. Anyway, 12:31 is Debbie Schlussel with us. I have not. I wasn't near my headphones, so I don't know. Okay, good, marvelous. Thank you. I appreciate that. I had to step away for a minute. You know, if you don't get up and move around every once in a while, you stove up because you're an old person. And when I say you, I mean me. Here is Debbie Schlussel on the Birmingham Broker Hotline. Debbie, you're on Talk 99.5. Thank you for joining us. We sure do appreciate you.
Well, thank you. Great to be back anytime. I love being on.
Most wonderful. So, what do you think? We got an inauguration coming up. Apparently, the Capitol is full of troops. Is it overkill, or is it a wise move on the part of those who are being overly cautious in case of some idiot deciding they want to disrupt things?
Well, I think that it's actually a good thing, because then if you have so many armed men all over the Capitol, it is a little bit of overkill, but I think then nothing will happen. And we on the right, who are not with the people that did what they did at the Capitol, won't get blamed because nothing will have happened. And, you know, when Ice-T and a lot of these other black activists have said, oh, well, if we were black, it would have been they would have been treated so much differently. Well, he's right only on one aspect, and that is because we've seen all year that nobody did anything when they destroyed America. The whole Black Lives Matter movement, which I do acknowledge is filled with a lot of white, spoiled, liberal, rich kids from the suburbs and who've been taught to hate America in college and high school. But, you know, we saw that the police really didn't do anything. All they did was kneel with them or for them or whatever. But I do think when the Black Lives Matter people came to Capitol Hill for their protest, that was the way this should have been handled. There were armed guards all around the Capitol, and they didn't get to do anything, and we didn't hear anything on TV, although we probably wouldn't have anyway, because they're Black Lives Matter and not Trump. But you know what? I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, you know what? It's kind of a good thing when more troops are in Washington, D.C. than the number of troops in Afghanistan and Iraq, where they're just getting picked off and killed. That's actually kind of a good thing. People were saying, oh, well, there's more troops there than there. Well, good.
Yes.
This is America. Let's protect America.
Let's protect.
You know, I have a mixed mind on that.
Yeah, these are our buildings. We pay for them. We'd rather not have to pay to clean them up later. You know what I mean? Yeah, and that is truly amazing because Donald Trump is the first president in my lifetime that has, A, not gotten us into a new war. Surprise, surprise. Because that's all we heard about when he was running. I mean, people have short memories. In 2015, 2016, it was all about, he's just going to get us into wars and we're just going to be nonstop fighting and we're going to be dropping nuclear bombs and it's going to be terrible. Didn't start any new wars. Actually drawing us down, got us out of Syria, getting us out of Afghanistan. You know, this is a guy who actually did some of the things that he said he was going to do. I honestly believe that's one of the reasons the left hates him, and some of the right hate him so much, because he makes them look bad. You know, he actually is kind of like, this isn't even that hard. Why haven't you guys been doing this all along? Maybe I'm just that good, and everybody knows it.
I mean, listen, I agree with you. I can't improve upon what you just said. I agree 100%. And, you know, I think that most people on the right, most people who are real conservatives, we don't support what happened at the Capitol. Most.
No.
And I think that most of us are peaceful. And I think I said this on the show last week that I had people contact me on Facebook and other social media who were there. And they were nowhere near the Capitol. They just came to support the president, go to the rally, and to protest the counting of or the certifying of the election. They did not go to the Capitol grounds, or if they got there and they got close and they saw what was going on, they left. These people were, I mean, from the far, far right. And frankly, instead of impeaching the president for the second time this week, I think they should have impeached the FBI director, Mr. Wray, because the Washington Post has said that, and I don't believe them all the time, but they have a written report that was an internal intelligence report that the FBI had over 2 weeks before.
Yeah.
We're talking about 3 weeks ago now, more than 3 weeks ago, that this was going to happen. And they also said that a lot of these people that went inside the Capitol and did all the destruction were on the terrorist watch list, which goes to show how useless that list is, because they're not watching the people. It's not possible. There's over 100,000 people on there, probably several hundreds of thousands of people on it. That's why they missed the Tsarnaev brothers. That's why they missed this. And I just think, to me, it just shows how deserving the FBI is of what other law enforcement agencies call them, famous but incompetent, because they had an intelligence report that there was going to be a major attack on the U.S. Capitol 2 weeks ahead of time. You can bet that that would have gotten or should have gotten to the top brass of the FBI, and they didn't do anything. And, you know, all these reports about the this Capitol Hill police chief, Steve Sund, the one that had to resign, saying that he told the Pentagon he needed National Guard. He told the Senate and House sergeants at arms that this was going to be a thing, and they were worried about the optics. Those are all the people that should be impeached and be investigated. And since they aren't, I think it goes to show what we already know, which is that this whole impeachment thing is petty and ridiculous. And, you know, one thing I want to point out to the listeners that I did on my cable show in North Dakota last night, you know, the reason we all know the reason they're doing this is to score political points, but also to be petty and deny President Trump the benefits that he would have as an ex-president. And I don't think he's going to run again, so I don't even think that's really an issue. But I think the benefits, you know, he's a multimillionaire, even though he had to take a loan out recently to pay for his new house in West Palm Beach. I think that's for business purposes, and I think he's got a lot of money. He can afford all these things that he would get as an ex-president. But my question is, why are we giving any ex-presidents these benefits? Because, you know, if you look into all the benefits they're getting, most of these ex-presidents are multi-millionaires. The Obamas cleared between $200 and $250 million with their Netflix deal. They got another $65+ million for their book deal. They just bought that $13 million Martha's Vineyard spread. They got the mansion in Hawaii, the mansion in Washington. they can afford to pay for their own security, their own travel. We're giving ex-presidents up to $1 million a year in travel. Why are we giving any of these people that? Jimmy Carter uses that money to go to the Middle East to go talk with Hezbollah and Hamas. Why are we funding that? All of these things on the list that they get use of, I find to be ridiculous. And Richard Nixon, to his credit, in 1985, he said that he no longer wanted Secret Service protection. He paid for his own. And people say to me, oh, but they're ex-presidents and they have top secret security clearance. First of all, yank them all. None of them deserve or need top secret security clearance after they're no longer president. They're not in the line of succession. Why do they get that? Number two, so what if they have foreign secrets? You know what? Then let them reimburse the Secret Service for the cost of their protection, and have the Secret Service continue to do it. You know, I worked for a congressman. He passed away, Phil Crane, who ran for president. And he said, you know, the Secret Service, yes, they're great men and they do a great job, but they work for the government, and if I get killed, they're just going to move on to the next guy. Whereas if it's a private security firm, they have to protect me or nobody's going to hire them again. And I think that, you know, they should pay for their own private security, period.
Well, tell us something you feel strongly about, because your tepid opinions are once again making the show dull. Now, the last president that retired and left office with, you know, less than millions of dollars, I think, was Harry Truman. And he never really did achieve anything else in his lifetime. He didn't achieve anything before he became president. He didn't achieve anything after he left the presidency, which is pretty remarkable. But yeah, he you know, he was on a stipend, basically. You know, he took his retirement from being the president. That was all the money that he had, lived very simply. And that's the last guy that did that. Every president, as you say, during my lifetime, well, many of them were millionaires before they started, certainly the Bushes. Ronald Reagan, of course, having been a successful actor, governor of California, investments, et cetera, et cetera. Barack Obama, you know, a couple of books. How many memoirs does this guy need? Because he's on his third now, right? I mean, I don't even have one.
It's only the half.
Only the first half.
800-pager.
Oh, yeah, that's
another one.
A real cliffhanger there. I can hardly wait to see how it turns out. Yawn.
By the way, I want to add to what I just said, too. I forgot to mention, all of the kids of the president get for Secret Service protection for life. Now, that was supposed to be revoked. The spouses and the kids were not supposed to get that, but President George W. Bush reinstated it, I think, in 2000, sometime towards the end of his presidency, 2007 or 8, I think. So he did that. Why am I paying for Secret Service protection for multimillionaire Chelsea Clinton? What, and the other Clintons who used the Clinton Foundation of $1 billion-plus as a slush fund? And the two liberal Bush daughters, including Jenna Bush Hager, who has a multimillion-dollar deal to host the third hour of the Today Show, why are we paying for that? The Trump kids, I don't want to pay for Secret Service protection for Jared and Ivanka, who are worth $750 million. We shouldn't be paying for any of these people, period.
She's Debbie Slissel, at Debbie Does Politics. Wait, say, at Pitch, it's Debbie on Twitter. DebbieDoesPolitics.com, DebbieDoesMovies.com. Both of those two websites can be accessed. I had a young girl, my girlfriend's employee, asked her the other day, what's this Debbie Does stuff? She didn't understand the reference, Debbie.
Oh.
And yeah, she had to have it explained to her.
Too clean and pure.
Yeah, which of course meant she went straight to Google to look it up, and then she was like, "Oh my. Okay." How about
nobody can spell Schlussel. I had to do something.
I agree. I understand. Let's take a quick break. We'll hurry back. Debbie Slissel is our guest. 545-9950, 844-455-9950. We'll find out if she has any movies to review when we return. Stick around. Richard Dixon, Talk 99.5.
A bottle of white, a bottle of red, perhaps a bottle of rosé instead. Get a table near the street.
Johnny, I heard a very interesting recording of this not long ago on the Billy Joel channel on Sirius XM. It was It was Billy Joel, but it was very early. It was just him and the piano. And it was, I'm not even sure he had recorded it yet. He may have, but if so, it was really early. It was before it became a hit, and he was playing apparently in a fairly small venue. And he played the whole thing. Crowd went nuts for it, you know. It didn't have any of the orchestration behind it or any of the stuff that we know. And I've seen him right. do it live, which is, you know, an amazing thing. You got to see it to appreciate it. But here he was just playing it just with a piano, him and a piano. And you know, it still worked, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's him at his best, I think.
Sometimes, yeah, absolutely. Although I do think that he works well with a band. And original band was probably the best that there was. I got to see them in 1978.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I kid you not. That was an early concert, man, but it was awesome. It was really, yeah. It was right before the Stranger album came out. So not the Stranger album, the 52nd Street. It was right before 52nd Street came out. Yeah, it was wicked cool. And he was amazing. Okay, Debbie Slissel is with us, and we're ignoring her, and we should be ashamed of ourselves. Stop that. Debbie, do you have any movies to review for us this week?
I definitely do, and both of them are related to Islamic propaganda. In fact, both of them are Islamic propaganda.
Nice.
So, yes, I will tell you, the first one is The Dissident, and that is about the guy, what was his last name again? Kafaji? Now I'm having brain lock again. But the guy, the journalist, the dissident from the Washington Post. Who
really Khashoggi, yeah, yeah.
Khashoggi, Khashoggi. So Mr. Khashoggi, this Jamal Khashoggi, this guy was a friend of the royal family, and then he crossed them, and they didn't like him. He was a propagandist for them. He was an open supporter of ISIS and Al-Qaeda, all right? And then he crosses them, and he's no longer in their favor, and he decides, well, I need to do something else to bolster myself and make sure I'm free. So he becomes a writer for the Washington Post, a columnist. And suddenly he's got this hallowed mantle of journalist attached to him when he was no such thing. By the way, he never, ever denounced ISIS. And frankly, if he had what he wanted in Saudi Arabia, which is a democratic system, we know that ISIS and Al-Qaeda, those are the people that would be voted into power with all of our weapons and arms that we funded from the U.S. government or that we sold to the Saudis. So this guy's a propagandist. It's a documentary. None of the movie studios would release it to the studios. So instead, in theaters, they released it online. And they've been really pushing this movie. I get a lot of propaganda pushing this movie that I should vote for it for awards. And so on. They sent me like three different screeners of it. And it's just propaganda told from his point of view. I know he's dead, but from the point of view of his supporters and his fiance at the time. So I had no use for this propaganda film about how evil the Saudis are. We know they're evil. That's why we're partners with them, because we know that we'd rather just have evil than much, much more evil in power there. So, and this guy, he's just one of many people the Saudis execute. I'm more concerned with people who are black servants from Africa who are executed because their hand accidentally touches the hand of the wife of the person that they're the servant for in Saudi Arabia, and therefore they must be beheaded. You know, I know somebody that served in Saudi Arabia that saw that happen. They have a place in Saudi Arabia called Chop Chop Square where they regularly behead people for yep. little offenses like this. All right, so that was that movie. The other new movie, and this is really also being pushed for awards, and I've gotten multiple screeners of this, is The Mauritanian. All right, it's about a real-life Al-Qaeda detainee named Mohamedou Slahi, who was in Gitmo, who should still be in Gitmo, who was tied to bin Laden. His cousin was bin Laden's personal poet and top advisor. And his cousin called him from bin Laden's satellite phone, which you don't just do it for anyone. He went to the mosque in Canada. He was kicked out of Germany. He was too bad for Germany. And he was accused of being a recruiter for Al-Qaeda in Germany for that cell. He moved to Canada because Canada lets everyone in. And even though Germany kicked him out, he worshipped at the mosque of Ahmed Rassam, the Millennium Bomber. Remember that guy? Tried to cross over, I think, at Vancouver to blow up America. All right. And he was caught. He was in Gitmo. He wrote a diary. And this movie is based on his diary as if it's fact. That he's a nice guy, the U.S. government didn't have anything, and that he was not a terrorist. But in fact, there's so much evidence that he was. And this movie is just a lie. It's propaganda, and Jodie Foster plays his lawyer, of course, and she's being pushed for an Academy Award for this. He said that he didn't know what jihad meant, or that jihad against the United States meant Al-Qaeda's holy war against us. He knew that. Come on. Right. Are we idiots? So this movie is his legal fight. He's the hero. It's so one-sided. There's no balance to this movie, no truth. And part of the reason that he was not forced to face justice at Gitmo is that there was this federal judge, this liberal federal judge, Judge Robertson, I think his name was, who basically made all these stupid rulings that are just asinine. So this is the war we're fighting, not just against Al-Qaeda, but against mostly against the judges that enable them and love them. Mm. And the movie Hollywood studios that propagate for them.
Yeah, absolutely. They love to take a story and fictionalize it or romanticize it. You know, I like a lot of based on a true story stuff. And usually we end up going and looking up what we, let's see how much of that was true. You're like, okay, almost none of it. So that's why they did based on a true story, because it clearly was not a true story. If it had been a true story, they would have said, this is a true story.
This one says this is a true story at the beginning, and it's just a lie. It says this is a true story. It doesn't even say based on a true story. And by the way, this guy was friends with Ramzi bin al-Shib, who is one of the hijackers.
Oh, yeah.
He's tight with him.
Oh, this is the kind of guy we need to make a movie about his life. Yeah, you know,
Ramzi bin al-Shib was the 20th hijacker, He was supposed to be a hijacker.
He's the one that didn't make it. He overslept. Right. He had the AM/PM sitting on his alarm wrong, and he just missed it. When is Hollywood going to figure out that if these guys, ISIS, fundamentalist Muslims, the ones that they keep being apologists for, when are they going to figure out that if those guys ever got control, then Hollywood would not only be out of business, they'd be first in line for execution. You know?
Same with the
journalists who are out here. Oh, but we have to be tolerant and care about them. Oh, we have to be tolerant and care about them. Not Trump supporters who are all about freedom. No, these people who are engaged in female genital mutilation, those are the people we have to be tolerant of. Gotcha. The people who are tying up gays and throwing them off roofs, those are the people we need to be tolerant of. I don't know how they live with themselves, Debbie.
Ignorance is bliss and, I guess, honor among thieves.
That would explain a lot. a pleasure, as always. Let's do it again next Friday if you're of a mind to. We look forward to it, as
of
always.
Course.
Have a happy week and a really, really upbeat inauguration, Debbie.
Right on. Have a great weekend.
Take care. Debbie Schlissel, DebbieDoesPolitics.com, DebbieDoesMovies.com. Check her stuff out in those two locations. I am Richard Dixon. This is Talk995 and Talk995.com. What we're going to be doing
is taking a quick break
and get some first news in here. Then we'll come back. I will hit you with the biggest story of the day. And then we'll try to have some fun after that. So stick around. Talk995, talk995.com.